You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
No, I'm Nick.
Mate, that was very disappointing last night's effort from the boys. And I think what really deflates me even further is just that's three times we've played Geelong, you know, twice this year and last year in round one of 2022. And we've been blown out of the park within 20 minutes of footy. And what's probably even worse, how full-time score last night wouldn't have beaten Geelong's quarter-time score. So there's some reflection in that. Yeah, bitterly disappointing. And, you know, it was Zach Merritt's 200th game and, you know, I just felt like we were, you know, shell-shocked, deer in the headlights, whichever term you want to use.
Yeah,
we were not prepared to do what was required to even be competitive in that game.
Yeah, I think that's the sobering part of it, Jane. Like, I dare say, yeah, tonight's podcast will be a bit shorter than usual. Yeah, because I'm just not sure what to take out of it. Like, it was literally, you know, boys against men, Jane.
Yeah.
They just made us look, you know, second rate. All over the ground, even our really good ball users. I mean, you know, Nick Martin, you know, Zach Merritt were made to look, you know, pretty pedestrian, really. And the shame is, too, Jamie, was, you know, Zach Merritt's 200th game. He's been such a battler for this club. Like, he wears his heart on his sleeve, you know, week in, week out. And that's the kind of, like, that's how we celebrate it. I mean, look, you know, these games happen. I get it. But, yeah, I would have, would have hoped for a bit more heart and a bit more, competitiveness at the end of the day. I mean, the only time where we, you know, almost looked like we were sort of somewhat stabilising was in that second quarter, you know, which somehow we won. But I think it was more due to, you know, Geelong's inaccuracy rather than our, good play. I mean, we did, show a much better effort, but for the rest of the game, we just, coughed it up far too easy. And, you know, it was sort of interesting hearing Brad Scott at the end of the game, basically say it how it is. I mean, when we tried the kick mark, they pressure us to force us to make an error. When we tried to bomb long, they'd have people behind the footy to take those marks. It was, yeah, like Kyle Langford said, it was just like you couldn't win sometimes. And again, I get it. Sometimes these games happen, but the fact that they've happened three times against the same opposition tells me that, yeah, we've got a bloody long way to go.
Yeah, now Brad Scott made reference that we've only allowed 100 points twice this year, both times against Geelong. But I somewhat I'm a little bit annoyed that Brad has not been more creative at selection. I've been really disappointed with his selection, especially the sticking by Wiedemann at all costs.
Yeah,
I reckon he's really devalued being in the senior side by doing that. And, you know, there's a lot of other players that like are on the fringe, you know, just waiting for an opportunity. Just not getting it, and whilst he sticks with the same, you know, two or three that are really just hanging on by a thread, you know, like I know Snelling tried a lot last night. He saw him really take. He's one of the few that took a contested mark inside 50, mate, and took a nice mark and kicked the goal. But like he's been hanging on the edges. Meanwhile, you know, we've got players that we should be looking at. You know, like. We're not, we keep being told, you know, he's excited. Yeah, Brad's excited about our improvement and where we could be, but not actually playing the players that we should be excited about. So, you know, I talk about Sardis, I talk about Cox, and I talk about, you know, even Waller. You know, he, like I was watching him in the VFL today, mate, and he's got, yeah, a lot of shortcomings at the moment, especially his fitness and so forth. But he's the only one who, you know, on class stands out about, 90% of our list just on the way he uses the footy. And he endeavours to tackle, mate. And when you get tackled by Tipo, you easily know about it. So, again, we played him early when he was not fit. We've been reluctant to use him as a wild card even. And we all know how dangerous he can be. I just think that our selection has just gone too much to the same blokes every week. And, like, I know prior to last night's game, we're fifth on the ladder. So Brad could say, I've been picking the right side because, as of last night before this game started, we were fifth on the ladder. But still, as a supporter, when you're seeing players like Wiedemann, Snelling, just getting by games and then being rewarded with selection again, it somewhat, I don't know, it just doesn't sit well with me. I want to see more players come through the senior side on merit, pardon the pun, on, actually earning their spot rather than being promised, oh, we'll stick by you no matter if you have four possessions a game, no worries, keep playing. We'll get through. Just keep trying. We'll get your confidence back up. Mate, you earn your spot. That's the way it should be. That's the way I think anyway.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I guess it's sort of hard because you look at that that forward line, that spot, like of Snelling's got in particular. Waller could play with a bit more class there, but he doesn't have the fitness to sort of run up the ground and impact there. But on the other hand, it's not like Snelling's lighting it up either right now. He wasn't alone on Saturday night, Jane, but, I guess we're seeing a bit of a difference from, that 2021 year or even previous, Jane. Like Snelling, he can be a real smart player. He knows how to find the footy. He can do the in and under stuff. But the thing that sort of set him apart when he first came into the side, Jane, or to my eye anyway, he was a good decision maker and he's a good user of the footy. Like he'd hit targets, and which has been something that's been a bit of a rarity in the red and black in recent years. But we haven't been seeing that this year. Like he's been finding a little bit of the footy, but the footy he's got ended up in, small, like short handballs or something like that. We haven't seen him open the game up at any stage. So I could definitely see his spot under threat, of a Waller or, as you say, who else could take that position? Potentially a Sardis or someone like that. But the bigger one for me is Wiedemann, Jane. And obviously, with our tall injury woes, it's like Wiedemann's kind of the only sort of tall that's semi-fit at the moment. But in saying that, he's not making an impact. Personally, against quite a big side in Geelong, I would have loved just to throw the dice on a Baldwin, for example, or even a Voss, Jane, just to see what he can do. At least give him that taste of, okay, you're doing all right at VFL level. This is what AFL level is, and against a top side at that, and throw him the challenge of, can you play the same way, from the VFL to the AFL? Obviously it's a lot harder, it's a lot more physical, it's a lot faster. That would have at least given him some appreciation of the difference in the level of VFL to AFL. But continuing to pump games into Wiedemann for effectively zero result for us, Jane, it's getting a bit beyond the pale. I'm all for backing the bloke in. But it's now been, 7 weeks, Jane? Hasn't troubled the scorer. And as a forward, that's not good enough. Look, who knows what Brad's going to do in the future. But, I think that game certainly highlights that, we can't continue to carry blokes against top sides, certainly if we have aspirations to yeah, to win games, which will need to have final aspirations. And then you look at the other side of it, well, if they're sticking fat, nah, this is a development year, and look, it is in many respects, you're not doing that development any favour by continuing to play a bloke that's not performing. Yeah, you're not rewarding those blokes in the VFL that are putting their hand up to play. You know, I sort of think, obviously gone on a bit of a tangent here, James, sorry about that, but but I'm sort of thinking, you know, the way that, I mean, obviously very limited sample size, but the way that Nick Bryan led up at the footy and took that nice mark in the forward line, went back and kicked a goal. Geez, like he's played, what, two games of footy this year? And we've seen, like we've seen that. Well, we haven't seen that in seven games of footy from Wiedemann. So, like, if, and we hope it is the case that Phillips comes back, does that two-pronged attack look like, you know, Phillips doing most of the rucking, Nick Bryan chopping out in the forward and potentially playing as a bit of a forward target. These are the sort of things we might need to think about. But I guess the point is we need to look at the talent available and make sure those selections for the side remain competitive. And blokes don't get disheartened because they sort of think, oh, he's just going to pick that same old side anyway.
Yeah, well, I watched the VFL today, mate, and it looks like Nick Cox is definitely in frame of selection. They rested him after halftime, knowing that the seniors were playing on Friday night. So I expect Nick Cox is in the frame for the side. But being Sunday, it's hard to see any of those other players coming in because, you know, it's such a short turnaround from Sunday to Friday. Considering when the Bulldogs played, you know, they've had a good break. So, which seems to be the case, mind you, while I'm whinging, I might as well say, every time we play a side, they seem to have more days rest on us. Thank you, AFL, like always, looking after us. But, again, really disappointing. And as we said, we are frustrated at our, you know, poor performance last night. Somehow we're still in the eight, mate. Thanks to the Giants getting over the Crows. So we are eighth and we're playing the Bulldogs who are seventh. So this will be a very good game on Friday night. It's an Essendon home game. So I expect to see a pro-Bomber crowd, which I would anyway, but I mean, being an Essendon home game, we saw the great support we got against the Crows from the fans, which was excellent. I really hope that continues on Friday night because we need to bounce back after that. That was Matthew Lloyd said, just when I got some confidence, I knew I could go to the footy and I knew what Essendon would put up. You see a result like last night, and it reminds you of all those horror years behind us. But let's just hope it was a blimp on the radar, mate, and we can move on and, you know, be up for what will be a pretty big game. And, yeah, the Dogs are no pushovers. They've got a great midfield as well, which we know, the Bont, Liberatore and Co. and McRae. And, yeah, it just goes on. And Jamara, Hugo Hagen's playing so well at the moment, Norton. So we've got a lot of headaches going into that game about players we need to stop. Yeah. But, as I said, we know Peter Wright's really upset the Bulldogs before. I remember that seven-goal performance. So, I'm sure they're going to have their worries as well. But, we can only hope for better. Mate, we'll go through the game. we should just go through our goals because that'll make it a 5-minute recap into a 30-second one. But let's go through the game. I went in knowing the down at Geelong was going to be a tough task. My old man barracks for Geelong, and I was talking to him during the week, and I said to him, you know, there's no way we're going to let you guys dominate like you like you have the last two times we've played you. And he goes, even he was giving us some credit. He goes, no, he's looked improved, you know. Like, and sure enough, when it was 46 or something to zero, my dad said, yeah, I can see things have changed with a sarcastic view. So, you know, when you're beaten, you can't really come back to that. So, yeah, really disappointing. But what did you take out of the first quarter, mate?
Oh, not much, game. To be honest with you, we just, like you said before, we just looked totally stunned. Like, obviously, the Cats came out and really brought the heat. Pressure, just like smashing through, bodies in the center, as well as, getting the ball in long and fast, like getting plenty of entries. And the moment the ball was bounced, we were basically on the back foot. And then from there, we just couldn't recover. And even when we had the footy, it was like we were fumbly, or our kicks just went totally like almost straight to lacing out the Cats. And like they were literally to the point where I'm like, no, I'm not sure that is just the positioning of, Tom Stewart, for example, or Colin Jasmine or whoever. Like that was just a really poor kick. I mean, we saw, Merritt, he had a free kick in the middle of the ground and then just went on to like kick it straight away. And you thought we had blokes out. His kick just went over the top, which was easily gobbled up. And then we saw McGrath try a kick out and it just, grub it along the deck. And you just sort of thought, what has happened to the boys? I feel sorry for the Essendon media team at times, Jane, because they were saying, we're ready to bring the heat. The boys are fired up, ready to go, and they just bloody weren't, Jane.
Yeah. No. When the game started, we actually went forward, if you remember that far back, mate. But, we're actually, that first minute or two, we're trying to, move the ball forward. But from the point that Geelong were moving back, they just kept intercepting marks, which was, which we made that quite easy for them.
Yeah.
Because they're very good at that. Obviously, Tom Stewart and, Henry and all of those guys, they just had a will. And on the flip side, our defenders looked nervous and, just couldn't use the footy well. So, you put those two together, one side's doing the opposing team's bad things well, and, that's where you get these kind of results. And it was really disappointing to see we just didn't have any fight back. It was like toothless in the way that we just accepted that we're not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, to be realistic, we really don't match up well in Geelong at all. Like, of all teams, they're obviously a lot bigger than us. Our back six is, as tough and as much as they give it a go each and every single week, and I think they've battled really well all year. But against the likes of, Tom Hawkins, Jeremy Cameron, Dangerfield, much bigger body. We just didn't have the bodies to go with him, Jane. And there was a kick where we were just out on our feet, and Dangerfield was able to sit in the 50, 10 metres on his own, and gobble up an easy mark and go back to kick the goal. And you just thought, geez, boys, where are we at? And then when they continue to pump it into their 50, even in our experience stages, Jordan Ridley, he was under the pump, and then he handballed off to Heppel, who had someone on his hammer straight away, and that gave up another goal. And it wasn't Heppel's fault. Like, it was it really was a sort of hospital hand pass for mine.
Mm-hmm.
Uh, So I just kind of felt like, we were on the ropes and just couldn't throw a punch, Jane. We looked like, honestly, to my mind, we looked scared of the contests because, obviously they're bigger bodies that were bashing into us. I felt sorry for Merritt because each and every time he looked like half getting the ball, blokes like Atfield smacking into him.
Atkins, isn't it?
Oh, Atkins, yeah.
Yeah, Atkins was getting into him, and also the Irishman, O'Connor, because they were kind of doing a double act on him, making him feel very uncomfortable. You could see that. And, unfortunately, again, where was that guy to come and protect him? We didn't see it. Like, there was, mind you, we don't really have players of that temperament, but, you wanted to see some kind of response. This bloke's playing his 200th game. He's getting ragdoll and, pushed off the ball and all that. And there was no Essendon player flying the flag.
I think, give a couple of years and Hobbs, you'll be there. But I think that's been the problem, James, for a long time, like not having that temperament. I mean, you look at Darcy Parrish. I thought he had a better game defensively in terms of he was going for tackles and stuff like that this game. I thought he was giving the defensive stuff a go, but he's not about to get up in someone's grill and put them in their ass, when they're getting into Merritt. And he's probably one of the more experienced ones in there. Honestly, I would have loved for a stringer, to play a bit of that, sort of enforcer role. We all talk about, forwards and backs and mids and all that kind of stuff, but like that sort of enforcer role, Jane, we definitely need one of those. And that's almost where I'd love to see a Voss come in. And like, even though he's only 19 years old, Jane, he's certainly not one to back away from a scrap. And I think, you kind of look at it and go, we needed something to stop the hemorrhaging, really, like a bit of a circuit breaker to go, no, we're not going to put up with this. Like, but unfortunately, we had nothing to go back at them with. And, as you said before, like we finished that quarter with one singular point, Jane. Like 1 point for a whole quarter. To their 47. So, it was always going to be a tough ask from there.
Yeah, quarter time, I just was so demoralised, I just couldn't believe I was watching the same show that I'd seen the previous two encounters against Geelong. Like, it's like clockwork, mate. They just do this. And, look, I know it's easy to be reactionary after these kind of things, and you need to bite your tongue because you need to look at the season overall and that. But, like, I was upset that we had not devised a plan that could actually, if the same thing occurred from the previous two games, what we're going to do differently to the previous encounters. And I didn't see anything change, mate. In the second half, he played players in different positions. But, I mean, we were underprepared for this kind of attack, and we shouldn't be underprepared because we've copped it off this mob so often.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure, Brad Scott said a few weeks ago, we've got our eyes on that game. We won't. The results won't be the same. Words to that effect anyway. So we've had time to think about it, but, obviously just nothing went for us on the day. Then we started that second quarter, and geez, in the first few minutes, Jane, we doubled their score with a rush behind. So you take your silver linings. Geelong continued to press with a couple of opportunities to them before finally, Jane, we saw Jakey Stringer bob up and kick out first.
And that was on the back of a really good take by Hobbs, who kind of jammed it on the boot. And the ball just rolled forward. He was paid a free kick, but we used the advantage and Jake Stringer kind of suffered it through for a goal. So yeah, Hobbs was the man that was, you know, I felt, you know, it's quite a damning thing, but a second year player was leading the charge, trying to take it up against a team that was just having their way with us. He looked like somebody who cared, and you know, I've made this comment before, like I could see him as a future leader of the Essendon Footy Club.
Yep.
And then this is on the back of these kind of things. He just looks like he cares. And as a supporter, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Nah, absolutely. No, he's doing well, Hobbs. But then, we saw some real frustrating play, Joan. Like, the Cats were coming at us, and I get it. But, like, when we did have a bit of a run where we looked to be, threatening again, the ball floated up on the wing. And, we were set up for Wiedemann, Joan. Like, all he had to do was mark that football, and he dropped it. And, of course, Cats go end-to-end and kick another goal. And, look, I know he's down on confidence, and I know it's hard to do things like when you are that way. Like you back yourself, and all of a sudden, you know, those things that you take like advice previously, you know, slip out of your hands. And it obviously doesn't help by having a go at the bloke. But it has to be reflected that, you know, when those things happen in a game, like it's so deflating. When you're trying to, you know, effectively dig yourself out of a hole, you just keep getting deeper. It really hurts.
I was just going to quickly say, we're trying to get this guy confidence. Now, there was hardly many Essendon supporters at that game. But on the rare occasion Wiedemann got the ball, you could hear jeers.
Yeah,
from that small group of, you know, Essendon people. So I don't know about you, mate. If I've got no confidence, and every time I touch the footy, I get jeered, a polite clap because you finally touched the footy, that might have the opposite effect.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair call. And look, it's not like he wasn't trying. He was trying to get to the right positions and stuff like that. It just wasn't working for him. And you know, there were other blokes, you know, like Sammy Durham, like he was trying to throw himself at everything, and made some quite good efforts. But again, I feel bad because I feel like I am potting the bloke. But when we were heading towards our 50, almost getting a goal opportunity, Wiedemann had given away the free kick. Which, you know, kind of a 12-point play there. And then the next time he got involved in the play, he kicked it straight to them. He somehow got the ball back and kicked it back to him again. So you just kind of think, oh, God. If there was a mercy rule for the sub, I probably would have activated it then. we saw that play on the wing there where Merritt tried to shepherd what's his name, he used to play for the Suns, not the Suns, the Swans, the redheaded bloke.
But Rowan, Gary Rowan. Rowan,
that's it. Yeah, tried yeah, to Gary Rowan. Shepherd Rowan off Lav, but unfortunately, that sort of made him panning into Lav's feet. And he looked hurt, Jan. And we know Lav's not one to suck it up or anything like that. And it sent shivers down me for sure.
Yeah, well, the last thing we could do is lose a defender. And even though some might not count Jaden Laverty as a key defender, we kind of play him like that.
Yeah.
And when he went down, I feared the worst as well, mate. I thought, that could be knee. When they said it was ankle, I thought, well, watch out for syndesmosis. Actually, well, I saw the footage of him having his knee. You could see he had a lot of blood on his knee. So that says it was like a skin, like skin contact to the boot or something like that must have happened. And obviously, you know, there was still a knock to the ankle, but the fact that he could get back on the field was great. And even though he was subbed later, it wasn't, it was more out of, you know, the game's gone. So there's nothing to be gained from continuing to play him.
Yeah.
And Brad Scott was very confident that there was no structural damage and, you know, they're not even fearing the scan because they're that sure that he'll be okay.
Yeah, that's bloody good. Yeah, news to hear for sure. And look, after that, the Cats kept coming at us. But got to be said, we kicked a couple of goals, through Wright and Menzies to somehow win that quarter, and to go into the half, 3-2, 20 to their 9-10, 64. So, look, we're already down by 44 points, James, but it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Oh, it could have, you know, considering it 46 down at quarter time. We shaved off 2 points, bring it back to 44. I mean, even then, like that last goal to Menzies in that quarter came with about 4 seconds to go. They got the ball to him, which is, you know, worked out well for us. But, I mean, you know, we had to do everything hard on the night. And, yeah, halftime, I was pretty sobering. I thought 44 points. I actually had a conversation with you, mate. I gave you a call and I said, mate, I can't see us making this sub under 10 goals. I can't, like last time we played Geelong, we were beaten in that first quarter.
Yeah.
And then we kind of kept the margin around that mark.
Mm.
It didn't have the same feeling on the night. And that premonition became true.
Certainly did, mate. Yeah, look, the Cats just, again, came real hard for us and we just couldn't weather it. To start off pretty quickly, like we'd seen in the first half, Tom Hawkins, he kicked the one goal, but he missed a few that, normally pretty gettable for him. But then he started to get his eye in. So he kicked one early in that third, saw Gary Rowan get one. And, they were kind of lining up, James. And what was disappointing for me is, like, again, we were just flustered. Like, Nick Martin tried to kick inside 50 and absolutely fluffed it. Never gave us a chance at it. And Dyson Heppley, who I thought, was playing fairly well, James. He tried to kick inside 50 and it was like, all he cared about was getting the ball on the boot. Where it went didn't really matter. And that seemed to be like a bit of a theme, for all of us, on the day. And it just went like, 15 metres from a red and black jumper, but straight to a couple of, white jumpers. There was no bloody jumper clash there. It was just really disappointing the way we sort of lost all sense of poise. Martin again. Again, don't want to pot this bloke. He's had a great season, but he lost his eye in terms of, his ability to position the booty, kick the footy well. Coughed up another one that was pretty costly. And then for some reason, James, we had two of our smallest blokes on the ground, so Will Snelling and Menzies playing as key forwards. Langford bombed the ball up in the air towards our goal square, and it was Snelling that came up and took the mark, and good on him, because he had, there was Tom Stewart there. There was, I can't remember if it was,
Ollie Henry as well.
Yeah, Ollie Henry. He'd killed us, Henry, for sure. But for Snelling to take that mark, go back and kick the goal was a good sign. But geez, the good times didn't last long because, again, it was a Tom Hawkins show as he kicked another couple of goals. Mark O'Connor kicked one and they were just lining up, James. It was hard watching. And at the end of three-quarter time, that lead that Geelong had was just stretching ever more. So they'd gone to 14 goals, 11, 95 to where 4 goals, 2, 26.
Yeah, terrible third quarter. They used to call it the premiership quarter, mate. One team won the premiership last year and one team hasn't been near it for 20-odd years. So kind of played out like that too. But, yeah, I just thought, yeah, we're going to lose by 100 points. We're on track to lose by 100 points. And, yeah, it's just, yeah, we didn't have much percentage to lose. You know, we're 107 at the start of the game. There's a graphic that we'd lost 6.5% at this stage. And, you know, when all those teams all logged in around that final spot, you know, percentage is going to be important. So not only are we losing the game, but we're actually, our percentage had taken a massive hit as well. So, yeah, I was really nervous. You know, the 100 points margin was on. And at the start of that quarter, it gave me no difference to change my thinking.
No, it wouldn't, mate. Because, again, we just saw, yeah, the Cats, yeah, raffling up. Yeah, Jeremy Cameron, like, we were pretty lucky. He didn't have his kicking boots on the day, Jamie. He missed another. He'd had 0 goals, 3 to that point. They had another brush behind. Then Tom Hawkins came up, kicked his 5th, Jane. Bloody hurts. Blitz halves, kicked another. Yeah, it was just looking bloody ugly. And then we saw, a nice bit of play where, the ball got pumped into the 50 and Nick Bryan came up, led up pretty well, Jane. Took a nice mark and went back and kicked the goal.
Yeah, I will say, you know, most times when ruckmen have a set shot, you get pretty nervous because, like, you know, the ball drop and how they kick the footy. But Nick Bryan doesn't give me that fear. He is a nice user of the footy. And that kick was just gun barrel straight. It gave me no reason to be concerned with it. So that was a nice kick for goal there. And as we do most weeks, finally we saw Kyle Langford get a goal as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, almost the death of the fourth quarter, and finally gets one. Look, not his fault, Jane. I actually saw quite a number of times through the game Kyle Langford coming up the ground to try and help the guys, win the ball back. Very rarely entered our 50, so it's good to see him, bob up and kick a goal. But sure enough, went straight back up the other end and Jeremy Cameron got to the end of one before Matt Guelfi. Look, he hadn't had the greatest game, to my mind, Jane, but I thought he'd battled hard, as we know he is wont to do. And, yeah, he kicked a pretty nice snap.
Yeah, it was a very nice goal. He's got good at that, he's Matt Guelfi. I don't know if you remember, mate, when he first started playing a lot on the halfback and a little bit on the wings. And, you know, he's a real in and out kind of player, utility, but yeah, he likes that defensive forward role, but he's become really good at the snap goal, and that was another example of that.
Certainly was, unfortunately though, we saw Tyson Stengel kick his 3rd, Jane, to round things out, and I think, look, one of the biggest things for mine, Jane, is look, we're outplayed, outbodied and outclassed at the end of the day. But of the Cats' 122 points they kicked against us, Jane, they got 105 points from turnover. Like that, that tells you that, these woes that, we've talked about all year, and like we're not the only pod out there, like everyone's sort of talked about them, like our kicking at times, our decision making at times is really poor. And against the best sides, you will get punished for it. So 105 points, that shows you, like, that is unacceptable. Like, at some stage, you had to stem the bleeding and, change the way we're doing things. But unfortunately, we continue to panic. Kick with the ball. You know, we saw blokes who, young guys who are developing. You get it. Yeah, they're they're young, they're under the pump, and their first thought is, look, I'm just going to try and get it long. But as experienced guys as well, Jam, and you sort of think, yeah, what's that, 15, 16, 17, almost 18 goals that they got because we'd coughed it up to them. That's, you're never going to win games of footy if you're coughing it up in that sort of regularity. And, as you mentioned before, James, like our four-quarter score didn't match their first quarter. So, we ended up that game 7 goals, 3, 45 to their 18 goals, 14, 22, like 32 scoring shots to our 10. Just the weight of numbers. It's not going to be a good story for you. But I think, I guess the stats never tell the true story and everything like that. But a couple of things have stood out for me from the stats. Efficiency inside 50. Geelong went at 53%. So, not bad. We went 39, Jane. Of our limited opportunities, even then, we weren't going to get in. And yes, Geelong do have a really good defensive unit. But at some stage, we had to lower the eyes or, find another way to enter it inside 50. It is now, it was round 18, Jane. We knew getting inside 50 was an issue. So it's not like on the day you had to automatically try to conjure a plan. This is something that we should have been working on for some time and obviously hasn't, worked out there. Obviously, possessions, they had more than us. Not heaps more, but, more in any case. Marks inside 50, they had 18, James. So they're getting controlled, good looks at goal. And that probably goes toward their efficiency inside 50. We had 5, which tells you over four quarters of football, if you're getting 5 marks inside 50, it's not a good day for you. And contested marks, this has been an issue for us all year. 15 for them to our 4. Brad Scott says we've got a lot of work to do, and bloody oath we do. Noted. And I don't know. It probably sounds like I'm just having a whinge and having a go at our young developing players. Look, I guess, to my mind, it's just reality that it is a development year, and I'll wear that. But unfortunately, this probably it's that frustration of being not relevant in the AFL system for a good 20 years, Jane, in terms of premiership contention. Sort of thinking we're starting to look good, and then having the rug pulled from under your feet. So there is a lot of that for all of us, I'd say. I'm not alone in having seen some pretty ordinary comments on the internet, Jane, about the performance, particularly from fans. You think of comments against Perkins, for example. I quite liked that he got the opportunity to go into the middle playing a bloke like Dangerfield. But clearly he was one of those players that, by foot, wasn't as clean as he would have liked. I mean, you look at disposal efficiencies, James, blokes who were able to use it well by foot, there weren't bloody many of them. For blokes who kicked, 60% or under, you got, about 11 or 12 of your 23 he played of the day. They went at 60% or under. Jake Stringer went at 37.5. Look, he didn't get a lot of the footy, but when you're seeing your players, A, aren't getting a lot of the footy, and B, aren't using it well, it's pretty hard for other blokes to lift around them. So, look, I can't honestly say this was a blip or this was an aberration, because we've seen it happen before, Jane. Against Geelong, noted. But we also saw against, Brisbane earlier on in the year, when sides get hold of us, We can go into our shells. We saw it against Collingwood. Like, we played well for three quarters, and then that last quarter, Collingwood came out with a heat and we just withered, Jane. I'm hoping the experience will help fix a lot of those things. But I think a lot of it has to come down to mentality as well. Will we allow ourselves to be bullied, like we were tonight and in other games where the clubs have just taken it up to us and we've sort of, cocked it on the chin, more or less? I really do think if we are to be a serious side, Jane, we need some more hardness around the footy. We need to protect our players, particularly blokes like Zach Murray. He's not the biggest bloke in the world. And when he's getting bullied, he's your captain. Like, stand up. Like, stand up and, do something about it. Like, you don't have to get weeks or whatever, but, we've seen it happen before where, the likes of Langford or so have stood up for younger players, but we have to do it for everyone. It should be, like, if you're wearing that Essendon jumper, stand up for each other. Wear it with pride. Do not allow other teams to, like, bully you into submission. Again, another... another rant, but disappointing night. I guess as you said at the start of the pod, Jam, all we can really do is refocus and load up and see what we can do against the Dogs. But certainly a pretty disappointing display.
Yeah. Now, if you got concerns about the game style Brad Scott's coaching and again, trying not to be reactionary to last night's result, but just in general, this chip-kicking game we've got. Now, we did it quite well against Adelaide until the last quarter, where they really pressured us and they kicked on last three goals of the game. I was watching the VFL, as I said today, and obviously they try to play the same game style, and there's a lot of chip-kicking. I just don't know if that plays into the hands of teams that like to put pressure on. And we saw instances of that game where we just kept going backwards when that was the only free player we had.
Yeah.
But then when you go backwards, you actually make the ground tighter because then you've got to find a spot from, behind 30 metres from your opposition's goal.
Mm-hmm.
And they form a wall knowing that, it's going to be very hard. You can't retreat much more. So you're going to have to try and pick the eyes out of a defending wall. So I don't know about that against the high pressure teams like Geelong and, Collingwood will be the same. And, even though we played well against Port at the G, we didn't early in the game, but in the second half was, we played quite well dealing with that, but I've got a little bit of concerns on it because, again, it just makes it, you are giving up territory constantly. And that if you're pressured, it makes it harder to kick. And let's face it, we haven't got the Harlem Globetrotters of footy players, mate. But, they can have clangers, multiple clangers in games. And, not everyone's a kick like Zach Merritt. And, I just think that, I don't know if that's going to be an ultimately successful game plan if we keep playing that and that's going to win us finals. I hope this is just the first evolution of a game plan and it'll grow from there.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see it two ways, James, because we have used it pretty effectively in many games, I'd say. And to me, that's one thing that's been good about the development of the side. Like, it's a lot more structured. We've been able to, pick through teams and, when they've tried to pressure us, we've been able to, take that time and move the ball methodically up the ground. So I don't necessarily have a problem with that game plan as it is. I think it's quite sound, really. But the issue is, it's the old argument, Jane, of having a plan B. And clearly we didn't have one, Jane. Like when the chip kicking wasn't working because Geelong were pressuring us, and they're a bloody good team. They structure up really well. They ran hard, Jane. Like, they were spreading like buggery. Like, you just saw the amount of run they did to either pick up their man or to find space. And our blokes just didn't react quickly enough. The lack of a plan B to go, okay, well, what do we do from here? Effectively, what we tried to do was go, okay, well, look, we'll go for territory. If we can't go methodically, we'll go for territory. And that just played into Geelong's hands because they got really smart, experienced guys like your Tom Stewart, even Blitzarves, Henry, as we mentioned before. And it's not like they've got class all over the ground. So when they're getting the ball there, they're able to cut us up through the middle. And then they've got classy forwards as well. We're worried about the big blokes like Jeremy Cameron and Dom Hawkins. But there's really smart forwards like Grian Myers and what's his name? Stengel, Close. Yeah, like that'll cut us up. So, it's that lack of a plan B that does worry me. And I guess, more than game plan or anything like that, it's the mindset for mine. If you're getting scared by another team going hell for leather at you, like pressuring you, and we sort of fumble under the weight of that, that does worry me. That tells me that we are not a final side until we can actually stand up under that pressure. It doesn't mean we have to win games against teams like Geelong, but they were on, Jane. So it doesn't mean we have to necessarily beat them, but at least hold our own, hold our heads up high. When we go off the ground, I don't think many blokes could have done that on Saturday night.
No. Mate, I think that's the Band-Aid ripped off. We've got to still do the player review, but I mean, I don't want to talk about that game much more because it just makes me angry. But let's go to a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about our two VFL teams. Some heartbreak for the VFLW women and a really good win. Their second on trot for the VFL men. So let's have a break and come back and talk about them. And you're listening to Don's Cast, mate. We had some heartbreak in the VFLW team. We're playing the Pies. And unfortunately, although it was a close game, we just fell short. I believe you watched the game, mate.
I did, mate. I thought, support the girls in the final. I had to tell you what, heartbreak at the end, but they can certainly hold their heads up high, James. I thought they cracked in all game, gave it their all. And, I'll just go through a little bit of the game, James. And, one thing that obviously you never appreciate if you're just, reading reports or, checking the scores is, like, the actual players in there. The one that stood out most to me, particularly early in the game, was Sophie Molan. Sort of half back. She was a bloody gun. Like, she was just marking everything, Jane. Playing almost a bit of a Wellman role down there, which was good. And not only was she taking marks, at half back, intercepting the Collingwood play, she took one higher up the ground and actually gave a nice kick to Mia Ray Clifford. And we were on the board with a goal early. So which is very nice to see. And the girls were really pushing pretty hard. Like, we had a couple of rush behinds before that, but to kick that goal was really nice. Then we saw Scarlett Orrit have a shot. Look, it was a bit far out. The leg didn't quite get there. I think she might have been about 40 out or so, just from memory. That's just a minor score on that occasion. But I tell you what, James, there were some big tackles. Sutton in particular was coming in and smashing a couple of Collingwood bodies. So it was, that was really good to see. I will say, though, that Look, it's I don't know if it's a a one club mantra thing where we all play the same brand and train the same way, but yeah, there were times where we were bloody wasteful with the football, game. And when we missed the targets, like Collingwood would pounce on it, and we saw their first goal for them come from a turnover from us, and they went end to end and kicked their first, which was pretty disappointing because like that first quarter, like we'd led, so 1-3-9 to their just a singular point. So for them to get a pretty early a goal through De Jock was disappointing. I mean, De Jock's a bloody good player. Like, she's really athletic, pretty tall, good mark of the footy. So we're never going to keep it down for long. But look, when we turn over the footy like that, we don't need to make it easier for them. Suffice to say, De Jock had another shot soon after and a miss before they got another through Nikolaitis, I think it was. It was pretty tough. I have to say, look, the girls kept coming. Like they're sort of pushing and pressuring all quarter, and then we saw Clifford again bob up, take a big mark in the goal square, and bang, it was a another goal. And it was that was the sort of halftime score, like both sort of level pegging it, 2-4, 16 apiece, and you just thought, oh bloody hell, we're sort of in for a big game here. Sorry, three quarter time was 16 apiece, so it was going to be all in for that last quarter. And I think both sides, busted their asses, Jane. We saw Di Matteo for the Pies tried to bust out of a tackle around their goal square, but her back stood up and took her down, and it was ball. So it was great stuff there. And then the heartbreak of it was, Jane, and this is a sort of funny thing about the league where players have changed teams within the season. Caitlin Sargent, who actually played her first sort of three or four games for Essendon VFLW, is now with the Pies, and she kicked a goal for them to put them in front. Which was pretty hard, and look, goals were hard to come by. We kept trying to pepper away and work the ball up, but each time we looked like getting a score. Unfortunately, you saw Collingwood players like Caitlin Bunker and others sort of lift for them and make some big tackles. And unfortunately, we fell short, James. So end of the game, losing by the 4 points. So 2-6-18 to their 3-4-22. So real heartbreak. But look, we lost no fans in the day, James. I thought, all of our girls, they really busted their gut and worked hard to, try and win the footy for us. And I guess the benefit of seeing the game, Jamie, you saw who the stars were, who you liked, and there were a couple for me that really stood out. One in particular was Aloise Chaston, just really hard at it, midfielder, Jamie. I wouldn't be surprised if she, I think she might have played in the AFLW rather previously, so I wouldn't be surprised if she gets another call up soon, because she's pretty hard at it. Had the 21 disposals for us, 4 marks and 6 tackles. So hard at it. Reece Sutton, who I mentioned making some hard tackles earlier, 12 tackles for the day, Jane. If you don't mind those numbers. Meg Ryan, she's a tough competitor, Jane. She made 7 tackles, and it was really trying to get the girls over the line off her own boot at times, which was pretty tough to see. But at the end of the day, just couldn't get it done. But yeah, great effort from the VFLW girls, and we're fortunate, Jane, because even though we lost that game, we do get the opportunity at a second roll of the dice. So I'll find out a bit later, Jane. I'll do a bit of research.
No worries. All right. Well, that's fine. All right. Let's go into the VFL men's team. I watched the game. It was actually refreshing, mate, to see us actually kick a goal in the first quarter, very early in the game. So that was great to see. Our centre clearance players were, Tipper and Sardis and players of that ilk going through. I saw Davey run through the wings and that, and Owen Davey kicked a wonderful goal off a bit of a spoil and just ran at full speed, mate. Had a couple of bounces and kicked the goal,
yeah,
which was just brilliant. Earlier, Cox had basically, there was a big pack. The ball went forward. It got to the back. There was all Geelong players defending, but it somehow fell to Cox with about 2 metres out, and he just took it off the pack and kicked the goal. So it was nice to see Cox and Davey get early goals, and JJ or Jorgensen, I think his name is, the full forward. He kicked a nice goal as well. So we actually started the game really well, and Geelong, it was quite an even game in the contest and so forth. But we seem to be making the most of our opportunities. The second term, Geelong obviously, they seem to have made adjustments, and they dominated that second term. We found it very hard to score at all, mate. And Geelong added a number of goals, and we ended up scores were level of 24 all at halftime. So despite Geelong having a lot more of the play, and they did get a couple of goals, but they didn't have the scoreboard impact I'm sure they felt they deserved. The third term was quite good. We really upped the ante a bit, and was disappointed a couple of times, mate. Pat Voss had a couple of times to take marks that I think he easily would take. But Jorgensen, he was very good target for us, and we just. We led, I think, by about, I think it was 7 points maybe at three-quarter time. And again, the Cats came at us, and the game is really tight. Sardis was he's getting a lot of the footy, mate. He ended up with 30 touches. Now, his kicking's not always great. I will say that from watching him in a few games. But, like, he's got this burst of speed, and he'd just be able to gain 5 meters on anyone just with that speed. So he actually handles the ball well in congestion, I thought, and was really an important player. He just, I would like him to keep working at that, skill by foot, because I think, once he gets that right, he's going to be a really dangerous AFL player. But certainly one to be excited about, mate. Mankara was really exciting too in his tackling, I should say. Number of good tackles, and he really is an exciting prospect. Obviously, he's got a lot of development to do, but he's starting to learn the tip away of really trying to apply tackles, and knowing that offense will be created by that. Wanganine tried very hard, mate. A number of times he gathered the ball at pace and had shots at goals. Just unfortunately, didn't quite finish him off. But there was a nice mark by Sutton. Who kicked a nice goal as well. And basically taking a mark into square, he got straightened up and kicked the goal. Geelong just they were coming at us, and the game meant a lot for Geelong in terms of their finals aspirations in the VFL. So they really needed this win, but as we saw last week, mate, we knocked over the top side last week, the Gold Coast Suns, and we're able to hold our way down at Geelong to get our second win on the back of a player that, mate, I was watching the game and I really felt this guy is not going to make it. You know, like I was talking about Alistair Lord, he's kicking and, you know, just a 15-metre pass looked hard for him. You know, he just kept fluffing his kicks and, you know, making the wrong decisions. But he kicked a wonderful goal to finish off on the back of some really exciting play of, you know, handball releases from, you know, Indigenous players. And Alistair Lord ran through to 50, mate, and dobbed a goal to put us 10 points up. And basically there was about the half or 30 seconds to go. And we went on to hold on to the win. And I know Paul Cousins, who's been on our show a number of times, would have been really loving that, mate. And he's had a tough year, you know, having to watch the boys do it tough. But those last couple of weeks have been really exciting. And yeah, there's a couple of younger players. Like Cox was very good in the first half and then was rested for the second half. So, yeah, as I said earlier, you'd have to think he's in line for a selection against the Bulldogs. Yeah, Baldwin was just, he was very good. I think he took 11 marks, mate. Earlier, he'd been tested on that ankle again. Like we know he's had this ankle injury. He went off the ground early and they kind of assessed him, but they put him back out there and he was vital. Yeah, just his defensive marks. Lewis Hayes looked quite exciting at times, like in terms of, you know, holding up his defensive ends. And, yeah, he's a player that, yeah, obviously needs a bit of development, but, yeah, he could be a key position prospect for us, mate, in terms of, yeah, he's got the, I guess, the Fletch kind of hair look. With the, yeah, not as long, obviously, not as short as Fletch's hair, but he's got that rusty colour red hair and, yeah, he's starting to learn his craft down back. Yeah, it's good to see Tipper trying to put pressure on. And again, mate, he's a player that I really hope we see, you know, in his last six games back in the senior side. Because some of his bullet passes are just fantastic. And we really don't have players that can replicate that in the senior side currently, apart from Merritt. Probably Merritt's the best kick we have, but. You know, Tipper would be, I think on skill level, nearly our second best kick, you know, hitting up the target. So, yeah, really hope he gets a look. Yeah, Voss, like he's competitive as, mate, but on the day he just wasn't taking his marks. They just kept popping out. He's got a lot of endeavour. I love the way that he put some physicality in the game, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, If your knock on Voss is that he's not holding his marks or he's not kicking enough goals or whatever, how can you defend that when you're playing Wiedemann through the form that he's playing in? So, do you know what I mean? Like, just have a look at him. Like, give him an opportunity, you know, even if it's just to say, hey, here's a taste. If you want to play regular senior footy, you have to go back and really work it hard at your craft. But I think he could benefit from that. From having that taste of senior footy. And I'd love to see what kind of temperament he has when he's given that opportunity. Yeah, our defensive players, you know, really had to do a lot of work in this game. Rhett Montgomery tried hard. Like, I won't say he stood out, but he was quite important, you know, holding up his end of the bargain. And yeah, it was just a really good win by the boys. I said Essendon don't win too often down at Geelong, so even if our VFL team gets one, it's a blessing. And you know, I know Geelong really needed that win, so in some ways it was a little bit of payback. Not that it's anywhere near what the senior side needed, but it was nice to beat Geelong in Geelong.
Yeah, that's beautiful, James. Great to hear. A bit of excitement, and yeah, they've had a long season, James, so well done to him. Would have taken a bit of heart, and it's good to hear that some of our young blokes are really standing up and developing quite well there. You think of like Kane Baldwin, and you know, it sounds like he's really applying his trade down there. The back line after, sort of coming to us as a forward, but having missed a lot of footy. So he's obviously, leaving no stone unturned there. And it's good to hear that.
I was just going to say there was another player that really took my eye today, and you might surprise when I say his name, Kian McBride. He did some really good things, again, defensively, but also had a little bit of a run on the ball as a ruckman at times. But yeah, he was vital in that game as well. Made a lot of good defensive acts and so forth. And he actually looked like he's getting more educated about the AFL game. I know he's been over here for about 3 or 4 years now, but he actually made some smart decisions under real pressure. So, I think a lot of people probably have him, this is his last chance of, securing a spot. But, on the back of today's game, I wouldn't be surprised if the club wants to have a look more at him, because he's quite a strong man, like you see how strong he is physically. Skill-wise, he looks okay with the skills, and it's just his temperament and, learning his craft. But, again, he might be a player still, mate. Maybe I wouldn't put the line through him yet.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to hear, Jane. So, good stuff. And just a bit of an update, Jane, from what I read before. So we are in the prelim.
We are.
Yeah, against Port. Yep. So, geez, it's delicious when, Carlton lose by a point.
Yeah.
And we get in, so happy with that. So, it looks like we'll play Port probably Sunday, so that's the 23rd of July.
Right.
It's going to be at Port, so, obviously their home ground. They have, they obviously finished on top of us on the ladder.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, pretty interesting game, Joe. So,
Well, I'm sorry for questioning you, mate. I should have known. Can I just say, I was really nervous about giving wrong information because, quite rightly, we try to be informative and correct. But that's why I was getting you to do your double check, mate. But thank you for confirming that.
No, it's good to get corrected from time to time, James. Like a dead clock. I can be right twice a day as well. So that was good. So I'll be watching. I'll look forward to watching that game as well, Jane. Because certainly the girls need our support. Look, if they get this one, they're off to the big dance, and who knows what can happen from there.
Yeah, it could be payback for 1990, mate. Now let's go by the numbers, mate, and. I should say that I would imagine this is going to be particularly quicker than normal. We are a fan podcast, and as frustrated as we are, we know the players don't intentionally let us down. What I mean? So we never try to be personal. Like, we can be frustrated, as any supporter will be, but that's 1-0 we made when we did a podcast, mate. We said we just can't be attacking. And I know some people might say, oh, well, you've been pretty hard on Wiedemann. I think the only way I can defend that is that it's been so long that, if we're doing a review, a truthful review, you've got to have an opinion. So, again, it's never personal, though. And, mate, with that, we should start with number one, Andy McGrath, who tried hard but wasn't immune from making a few mistakes.
No, he wasn't. But geez, I thought he's probably one of the few that was trying to break through those lines, Jane. He had a number of bounces and was definitely, trying to do the overlap run to get us a bit more distance to sort of allow us to get over those Geelong lines. They were really hemming us in their forward 50. And I thought he did battle hard all night. 23 disposals, took 7 marks, and beefed up a little bit through the sort of kick to kick. motions, but not many. We didn't have much control back there, but had the 540 odd meters gained. I thought he battled hard, and they were under pressure from the get go. That back six. So look, I thought he had a solid game.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised how many kickouts he took, mate.
Mm.
Andy, you know, had a lot of work to do.
Mm.
So he probably put in a claim for overtime, on the back of last night. But he certainly tried, but they're small forwards. They were able to kick a number of goals in that area.
Mm.
So I'm sure with only one tackle, I think Andy probably will be a hard critique on himself. Yeah, he put it, because I know he's someone who likes to lead in that area. Putting pressure on players. So, I know he tried his hardest though, and that's what you'd expect from your vice captain. Darcy Parrish, he found plenty of the footy, mate. Still got 24 disposals, 8 kicks, 16 handballs. They were all rushed, mate. Wasn't much time with the footy.
Mm.
9 tackles, which I thought was great by Darcy. Like, again, that wasn't his strong suit, but he certainly was trying, but just didn't think he had the impact with the ball when he did get it.
And that's the thing, Jane. Like, as I said before, I thought, defensively he was trying his heart out, rushing at players. But, like, Geelong worked with quite a smart system, Jane. Like, they shepherded for each other, which is something like you don't often see in AFL these days. So as soon as he'd rush the player, there'd be a bloke to shepherd, or, they'd get rid of the ball just before he got there. But to make those 9 tackles is, testament to his effort. Look, he's used to getting the ball like nearly 40 times every time he plays, but he had to really work hard to get the footy. Like 13 contested possessions, Jane, had the 5 clearances. So had to work bloody hard. No, I don't think he was overly impactful. I think, our midfield got well and truly shown up. Like for impact, I think the actual numbers probably don't tell that biggest story, but for impact, I think, we were sort of cut up from, Dangerfield, Bruin, and whoever else, decided to run in there at that time. So, look, not an outstanding game, but I still thought he played a solid effort.
Yeah. Kyle Langford, the ball didn't get down there very often, mate, so it was hard for Kyle to have too much of an impact. We did see him move up the ground at times, trying to have that influence. He had the 9 disposals, 6 kicks, 3 handballs, 2 marks, 2 tackles and a goal. Again, it was a quieter night for him, but understandably with how the football was getting sent forward and the players he had around him.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty tough night for Kyle. And look, he's usually one of our better users of the football, but out of his 9 possessions, only 5 of those were effective. So when at 55% disposal efficiency, had the 5 score involvements, which is good, but otherwise pretty quiet. So I'd like to say fairly average game from Kyle for mine.
Yeah. Jai Caldwell, he didn't have much of the footy, mate, and I didn't see him inside much as we have in the last few weeks.
Yep.
Just had the 12 disposals, 6 kicks, 6 handballs, 2 marks, 3 tackles. Really quite going by Jai's standards now. I can almost say that, he's a player that is really building up. But this was certainly a bit harder for him. But as I said, I don't know how much opportunity he got because he seemed to be off the ground a bit.
He still played 80% of game time, so he's obviously on there enough, but just a fairly quiet game. And it could just be like he does it in and under things, and we just don't see it. Had very limited impact on the game for mine, so I'd have to say a fairly average game.
Yeah. Zach Merritt, really tough game for Zach. 200 games, which was outstanding by Zach. Such a young man to play 200 games already. We all know how well he's you know, how well he's regarded within Essendon's four walls, as they say, mate. But yeah, he was just bashed up, really, like, you know, not physically, but like they really put a lot of work into him. And as a more slap in the face, mate, he was just fined $1,500 for staging. So it's unbelievable because, like, I've seen the incident, and if I don't see probably 15 of those in each and every game, you know, I'll be amazed. And somehow, of all the players in the AFL have picked Zach Merritt as the player.
On his 200th.
On his 200th.
Well done, AFL.
Again, the love of Essendon will run forever. But 18 disposals, 13 kicks, 5 handballs, 2 marks, 5 tackles. Like, his endeavour to tackle was there, mate. You know, you could see that on your screen every time he lunged at a tackle. You know, he tried to have that influence, but just wasn't for him. He kicked it behind. And, you know, when you see Zach Merritt going at 56%, you know that he's had an off night.
Yeah, that's it. And I know that's what you call it for Zach Merritt. It wasn't off night. Look, one, he was getting beaten up when he had the ball, when he didn't have the ball. And unfortunately, didn't have many blokes helping him out. You know, he still busted his ass trying to win the footy as well as trying to you know, get the ball going forward for us. But just yeah, it wasn't his night. So I would have to say, look, solid effort, but in terms of impact, it was fairly limited.
The next player played like a captain, mate. That's Ben Hobbs. I thought his endeavours, really admirable. I really like watching him play. Look, he only had 23 disposals, 12 kicks, 11 handballs, 1 mark and 3 tackles. But, you know, just his endeavour. And he's one of the few Essendon players that were actually giving it back to Geelong physically.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to leave a few bruises of his own. And, that's what we kind of need. We need players that, you know, don't want to be bullied and will actually push back on them.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he played really well, Jane. You know, bashed and crashed at all ends. And, geez, there were some moments where he got absolutely crunched, but he, you know, got up to run at the next contest. So he's a pretty tough hombre overall. Look, obviously, 23 disposals, 12 of those were contested. So, yeah, again, just testament to how hard he's had to work. 3 score involvements, 3 intercept possessions. So he's trying at both ends of the ground. I'm actually fairly surprised his disposal efficiency was only 52%, Jane. Because it just felt like he had more impact than that. Obviously we saw that moment where he kind of won the footy for our first goal. Which Jakey Stringer dobbed through for us. I'm really enjoying the development of this young bloke and, can't wait to see the player he'll be in future with a few more seasons under his belt.
Sam Wiedemann, look, he's had 10 disposals, mate, which might surprise, but 8 kicks, 2 handballs, 4 marks, 1 tackle, and he's actually sent back to play on Tom Hawkins at one stage. And mate, can I tell you, he used the ball at 80%. So one of the best users on the night, which might surprise you. But there's more what he failed to do. And that was taking a couple of really important marks, which were easy enough for a player of his caliber.
Yep.
And look, you know, in a bad performance, you can't just single out Sam Wiedemann. There was a little... plenty of players that should join him in the, you know, when criticism's given, but unfortunately, little impact from Sam Wiedemann.
Yeah, I think that's the crux of it, isn't it? Like, because I think he can find the footy, he knows where to go to get it, but just doesn't back himself to win that football. So look, I don't put this on Sam Wiedemann. It's not like he's not like there's a lack of effort there, or you know he can't be asked or anything like that. He is trying, and we get it, but it's just not coming out from, so yeah, very limited impact from Sam Wiedemann or not.
Yeah. Will Snelling, he tried really hard as well, mate. Again, he had a bit of a defensive role. I saw him down on our half back line on a number of occasions, especially early. But we also saw him take a contested mark right at the top of the square, mate, kick a goal, which was an impressive mark in, considering the talent around him. But he had 13 disposals, 8 kicks, 5 handballs, 3 marks and 3 tackles and a goal.
Yeah, I think, look, he done some a couple of good things, Jane, but I still think, yeah, very limited impact from Snelling. I think it's sort of hard, that role he plays as a kind of link player. If the if the team aren't actually winning the football or able to link effectively through the ground, it's pretty hard to actually help in there when the system's kind of broken on the night. So I think, look, his effort was there, but I just think he had a limited impact on the night.
Jordan Ridley, I was so happy to see him playing, mate. I really thought, there was little chance of him getting up for the game. I was actually surprised how well he played, with that knee injury.
Mm.
He wasn't noticeably hobbling. I'm sure he was sore. But, he had the 18 disposals, 14 kicks, 4 handballs, 7 marks and 2 tackles. And, Rids, he had a lot of pressure on him. He used the ball at 94%. So, he's a really good player for us. And even with the amount of ball that was down there, he still managed to take 7 marks and use the ball at 94%. That's a wonderful effort.
Yeah, certainly was. I thought he played really solidly, Rids. And look, he wasn't 100% fit. Like, he sort of looked like he was on half a leg at times, but just the way he was able to make up space and with his smarts, Jane, and I suppose intercept some of the footy going towards Geelong's goal was good, like the 7 marks. And three intercept possessions. It was good to see him back, and I suppose he's kind of a victim of his own success, Jane, because like he just has those performances week in, week out. It just becomes expected. On a day like that where we had a pretty down day across the team, I think he's definitely one who could hold his head high.
Jane Laverty tried hard as well, mate. We saw him get injured, unfortunately, but he was able to come back on. And thankfully, when he was subbed out, it wasn't due to the injury. It was more out of precaution, knowing that the game had already been lost. There was nothing to be gained for keeping him out there.
Mm.
So he had 16 disposals, 7 kicks, 9 handballs, 4 marks and a tackle. And, hopefully Jaden's okay. And, because he even used the ball at 81%, mate, which is pretty good. And, we just got to hope that he pulls up well and is ready to go against the Dogs.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. I thought he played really well, Laverty. I thought he's probably one of our best defender. Doing some of the really tough work against Tom Hawkins in particular, some of that body work, as well as, at times, going at like a Jeremy Cameron or so. And even when he went off with that ankle and did come on, he didn't allow the thought of like that injury to sort of delay him. He backed his body, which is really good to see. Just his ability to get a fist in here and there, his ability to stand up in a contest, I thought was quite good. The stat sheet kind of belies it, but I thought he was quite impactful down back, Jane. I thought he had quite a good game.
Archie Perkins again started in the midfield. He had a defensive role on Patrick Dangerfield. He had 19 disposals, 13 kicks, 6 handballs, 2 marks and 4 tackles. He's a player that, he used the ball at 53%, I should say, but he copped a lot of criticism, mate, in the, on the forums and so forth. So a lot of our supporters were going after him, which I find is disappointing because he's a young player that, let's face it, he's got immense talent. He's learning a new role defensively. And, yes, he's going to make his errors, but, I think with young players especially, you need to support them through it. And, I didn't think there was anything that you could say, oh, that was Archie Perkins' fault, if you know what I mean. So, like I said, this is just part of their development, is they're going to have to go through games like this, and hopefully they'll get some cream as well, mate, later on down their careers.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's good for him to get these experiences, James, and go to the best of the competition and, sort of battle it out with them. He obviously got dragged to the footy and that's, picking up these 19 disposals, which is good. To have the four tackles, obviously says that he was cracking in hard, but it also kind of says he was second to the footy. So he's, a bit reactive, which is, if you're sort of there as a tagging role or I guess you are sort of reactive to them. But like, this is something he'll learn from. So I've got every faith that he'll take a lot from these experiences. Unfortunately, only went at 52% by foot. So effectively of his 19 disposals, 10 were effective. With nine of his disposals, by the way, being contested possession. So he's had to work hard for it. He was one of those who unfortunately just chucked on the boot and hoped, and we saw it sail it back over their heads. But he certainly wasn't alone. And as a young bloke, he'll learn from that experience, and I expect it to put him in good stead for future, because he'll know he would learn from that and know, okay, next situation, I'll work on how I react to that. So I think he played okay in the end. But obviously a bit of work to do.
Nick Hind came on as a sub. He actually gathered 10 disposals from the time he came on, mate. 8 kicks, 2 handballs, 3 marks and 1 tackle. I know Nick Hind was really disappointed to be, omitted from the team, and he's been out for a couple of weeks now, after having a long stint in the senior side. And, I thought he tried hard, mate, without having too much of an impact.
Yeah, I think that's about right. One thing with his game, I think he really needs to work on his left foot. A couple of times he tried going on the left. And you get it, he's cramped up for space. But it just didn't work for him. So that's one thing he can sort of work up. I lowered his effort, and he was trying to get into some more attacking mindsets and positions, but his disposal sort of let him down on the day. But outside of that, he was obviously trying his best. It's hard, when we're already getting pummeled, to sort of make much of an impact on the trajectory of the game. At least I'm sure he'd have saved the run.
Yeah, and I did like to see, mate, even though we didn't have the ball much, I could see Nick Hind just using that speed to try and put pressure on the Geelong players. Even when he first came on, he's done a 100-metre run to try and impact the Geelong player that was a long way in front of him. He's that keen to get on the ground to show what he could do. So, good effort, Nick. Peter Wright, again, another quiet game for him. It was really not his night, the way the ball was coming in. Mm. He still kicked a nice goal, mate. That goal was around 40 metres, that snap that he did, which is quite good. But, had to play a little bit of ruck. He had the 10 hit-outs, 7 disposals, 5 kicks, 2 handballs, 2 marks and 3 tackles.
Yeah, I thought, obviously tough night for Peter Wright and the forward line in general. Good for him to get that goal, which is nice. He battled as hard as he could in the ruck and, won a few hit-outs there. I think our whole forward line was soundly beaten on the night, and, Peter Wright was one of those.
And Dyson Heppel continued. He's had a bit of a resurgence, mate, down in that half-back line. And he tried really hard again. Like, I know I keep saying tried hard. Well, that's what you want to see from your players at least. And I think Dyson definitely fits the box with that one. And he had the 11 kicks, 14 handballs, 7 marks, 2 tackles. Yes, there was a few errors in there, and, you know, in that that can happen in under real high pressure. But, I thought he was one of the ones that really tried to hold up down back.
Yeah, he was, Jamin. And particularly the first couple of quarters of the game, Jamin, I actually thought he's probably one of our best. Yeah, he was really standing up. But then it was just the weight of numbers. I think it just, I mean, it wasn't just him, but, you know, sort of got to the back six and we kind of dropped our bundle. And that's where we saw some of these errors from Heppel as well as others. And I kind of feel like, the pace of the game, the way that the Cats were able to pick and choose how they were going to getting it in inside 50. The size of the blokes down there, I just thought, he was on a bit of a hiding to nothing. Kept battling all game. After half time, I just don't think he had much of an impact, unfortunately.
Sam Durham, he is another one who tried hard, mate. I keep saying it, but 18 disposals, 8 kicks, 10 handballs, 3 marks, 2 tackles. He used his speed at times. And again, look, he doesn't use the ball well under high pressure. He only went at 56%. But what I did like was there's a few real good runs where he chanced himself and took on the pack. Went for a few players on a couple of occasions. Unfortunately, it wasn't one for his highlight reel. Like, it wasn't like he hit a target after doing that, but he was one of the few players that tried to take the game on and play through Geelong rather than just throwing it on their boot and hoping to get out of territory.
Yeah, agree with that, Jane. It certainly wasn't that. Certainly for the first couple of quarters, especially. I thought he was... He was actually cleaner with his hands than some. I guess at the end of the day, he sort of went missing in that back half. He won't go wondering, Sammy Durham. And again, he's a young player. He'll grow from this. I'd have to say an average game at the end of the day, but certainly not through lack of effort.
Nick Bryan got his chance to be Essendon's number one ruckman on the night. And I thought, in the ruck, he really held his own. We saw him take that really nice mark, contest the mark, and go back and kick a goal when he's rested down forward. He had 14 disposals, 8 kicks, 6 handballs, 5 marks, and 2 tackles with 25 hit-outs. So, again, he would have liked to use the ball better at times, but he's always under pressure. And I thought, as a young developing ruckman, he didn't hurt his value, I didn't think.
Yeah, no, I think certainly in the ruck battles, he held his own. Would have loved for a bit more around the ground from Brian. But, he did take 5 marks in the day, which is not a bad effort from the young bloke. And the way that... Geelong were cutting us up through the middle, didn't really allow much opportunity for him to use his height or anything like that. And at the end of the day, he's collected 14 possessions. So I think he's made a real fist of it. And well done to him because, obviously, we talked about it before when he came into the side got sort of beaten up a bit and then was thrown straight out. It would be pretty hard to think, I've really got a battle for everything. And if I don't perform, so a lot of pressure there. So I thought he played quite well, for a young bloke coming through. So, well done, Nick Bryan.
Jake Stringer, I don't know how fit he is, mate. I listened to, from the rooms for the members that we get, a video from Josh Marnie. Josh said, we rested Jake with about 10 minutes to go, knowing that, rest him up for Friday night. He just doesn't look to, I know he's not the world's best runner, mate, but he really is laboring when he's running.
Yeah.
And we could see by the way he's using the footy, he was just rushed every time he had it. But, yeah, as you said, mate, he used the ball at 38%. He only had the ball 8 times, 5 kicks, 3 handballs, 1 mark, 1 tackle, and 1 goal. And the reason I ask how fit is he, you know, against a really hardened Geelong side, they didn't play him through the midfield at all, really. He had 2 opportunities in there for the whole match. So that says to me that, you know, we weren't comfortable putting him in the midfield because I thought that would have come much earlier in the game if you, were concerned about Geelong's dominance.
Yeah, absolutely, Jamie. It's a good point. Yeah, his fitness, I don't think it's like as in sort of running fitness. He's obviously carrying something for mine. Hopefully, whatever it is, he can rest up and come back. But at the end of the day, we need him to be fit and firing. There's no good sort of taking in a half fit Jake Stringer because he's just not having the impact that we sort of need from him as that bigger body bloke that can go in the centre and win a few clearances. Look, at the end of the day, I think he was, trying. That seems to be the theme of the night, isn't it, Jane?
Mm-hmm.
Try, but not succeed. But, it just didn't have the impact that we'd like from our senior player. So I'd have to say, fairly average game at the end of the day.
And mate, I'm going to do it. As my old friend Yoda once said, do or do not. There is no try. Mason Redmond, you got a fair bit of the footy. I was actually surprised he had 22 disposals, 17 kicks, 5 handballs, 4 marks and 2 tackles. I didn't think it was his typical game, but he still used the ball at 73%. So he certainly admirable in his way he went about the footy, but just didn't have the impact that we know Mason can have when things are going well for the Bombers.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference, isn't it, Jane? When things are going well, I suppose everyone looks like a million bucks. But as for Mason, I think he battled hard and had 6 intercept possessions, and you saw him try to break the lines on a number of occasions. But unfortunately, we seem to really break down up the ground, he'd come busting through the half back, and just the way that Geelong were choking any sort of movement we might have had in that forward line or ability to have a bloke one out or anything like that. We just didn't have that. So our boys got sort of held up, and it was Mason Redmond, he can rake one into the 50. His options were limited because, Geelong were bloody everywhere. So I think, he, along with the rest of the back six, he held his own to, try and win the footy back for us rebound and try and get it going our way. But the weight of numbers, just led to our back six sort of getting a bit overwhelmed at times. When you see blokes have 5-10 metres of space to take easy marks in their forward 50, a bit disappointing. I'm not going to put that straight on Mason Redmond. It's a systems-based defensive system. But, I suppose how the cookie crumbled in the end. So I'd say a solid effort from Redmond, but, just not the effort. The impact, we'd like to see.
Jake Kelly, you probably feel the same, mate. Right? He had 15 disposals, 8 kicks, 7 handballs, 4 marks, 2 tackles. Again, I think one of the criticisms with Jake, he went at 93%, mate, so certainly not his disposal. But I just find he slows down the play a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of pausing when he gets the ball. And usually a dump kick out, you know what I mean? So, although he used the ball really well in the night, they're generally like really short 15-metre kicks across ground without having impact going forward.
Yeah, and that's it. So I think, yeah, again, as hard as he tried and battled it, just limited impact for Jake Kelly. So, yeah, it's about all I can say.
Yeah. Brandon Zerkvatcher, he must have nightmares about Tom Hawkins. Right? Mm. There wasn't much he could do, let's be honest. Like,
yeah,
the kicks that were coming to Tom Hawkins were so good that, like, you know, unless he had, you know, 8 meter long arms, he's not going to be able to stop. And, yeah, unfortunately, you know, again, he's had a fair few goals kicked on him. He had 12 disposals, 11 kicks, one handball, 10 marks. So he actually took a lot of intercept marks, I thought. But just, again, with Brandon, just had a tough night. When he did get the ball, mate, he actually used the ball pretty well. He went at 92% efficiency.
Yeah, no, I thought Zerk actually had a really good game, despite Tom Hawkins kicking 5 goals on him and could have had a few more. I actually thought he had quite a good game. I thought he stood up as well as he could down back again on that onslaught of entries. You know, Geelong had, 60-odd entries over the course of the game. You know, to take those 10 marks, yeah, he's done really well. He'd get a fist in every now and then. I actually had 6 intercept possessions, 3 contested. So I just say, look, there probably wasn't a lot more he could kind of do against, you know, the likes of Tom Hawkins and Jeremy Cameron and that. But the weight of numbers, the way that, you know, Geelong were just able to, yeah, pick their way through our defence, it does not make your day easy as a key defender. So I actually thought he had a good game despite the resulting goals on him.
Yeah. Mac Ralphie, again, he had a tough night, I thought. The ball wasn't coming down to the forward line much, and he was trying to put some pressure from that forward line, and, you know, when Geelong were releasing the ball, but they just had too much space and he just couldn't make the ground up.
Yeah.
9 disposals, 5 kicks, 4 handballs, 1 mark, 2 tackles. He did kick a goal, but, yeah, really hard for Matt Guelphy to have a substantial impact on the game.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jane. Look, he's another one who will never die wondering, Jane, but just limited the impact of the night.
Nick Martin, again, mate, his stats read okay. He had 23 disposals, 14 kicks, 9 handballs, 5 marks, 1 tackle. But, geez, Klanger's really hurt us. Used the ball at 57%. Now, we know he's better than that.
Yeah.
And, again, Geelong put a lot of work into our classy ball users. So Merritt and Martin got a lot of, watchful players around him. Look, they were under constant review by Geelong. And, he just made some howlers. I was just thinking of that where he's running out of the back line and that shank kick, mate. You couldn't have kicked it worse. Like, it was so bad a kick that it was just an easy goal for Geelong. And, you know, he's had a wonderful season. So certainly not, attacking him for one bad performance. But I just thought on the night, although his stats read well, those big clangers really hurt us.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Jane. Like, of your 23 disposals, only 12 of those were effective. that's a lot of ball you're giving up, basically. And we know he's a much better ball user than that, one of our best. But just on the night, it wasn't working for whatever reason, Jane. But, you reload, go again, and, I'll back him in to improve those performances.
And finally, mate, Jai Menzi. Again, he kicked a goal, which is good for Jai. Had the 10 disposals, 5 kicks, 5 handballs, 1 mark, 1 tackle. Probably didn't have the impact he would like in the game, but again, those forwards had it so hard, mate, because the ball entry into the side to 50 was just, really poor for us. Again, the endeavour was there, but the opportunity wasn't, and it was nice for him to kick that goal just prior to half time. But it was just a tough night at the office for all our forwards, including Joey.
Certainly was, Jane. And look, he got a goal assist in there as well, which was nice for him. And look, I thought his pressure was manic at times. Like you definitely saw him, you know, busting a gap to try and lay a tackle or to get the pill. But the way that Geelong structured up, they just killed us all over the ground, and he just wasn't able to have the impact he would like. So you have to say, an average night for Joy.
Yeah. All right. Well, we finally got there, mate. So it's time now for the Doncaster medal votes. And mate, if it was like you for you, like it was for me, it almost feels false finding five players to give votes to. But that's the way we've always done our votes. So we have to find them, mate. And we've had plenty of Essendon games where this has been the case. So we should be experienced trying to find these five players. So you go first, mate, as always.
Yeah, that's it. I did have to have a bit of a chuckle when I looked at the Bomber Blitz thread, and they said, you know, the votes for the Cats game, and in brackets, yes, we have to. that's kind of how I feel. So, look, for mine, I gave one vote to Ridley, two to Zerk Thatcher, three to Brian when he battled really hard, four to Laverty. You notice three of our back six are in there, Jane. Poor bastards, I had to give him something. But for five votes, I actually went for Ben Hobbs. I thought he was quite good on the night. How about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
Well, again, mate, I premise this by saying that, like, I expect to be challenged on the votes, but please understand I have to do them. So I did the same, mate. And look, was it a best on ground performance in most weeks? No, but I did give it to Ben Hobbs, and mainly because I think just I liked the way his endeavours were met with his contested work. Yep. So, five to Hobbs. I gave four to Ridley. I really liked. Well, I think I was more relieved that he was out there and didn't seem to be injured. I thought he was going to be a laid out all week. And so maybe those votes were generous, but that's how I saw him. I gave three to Heppel because I thought he really held up well down back. I wanted to reward Nick Bryan for his game in the ruck, so I gave him two. And, you know, probably the most contentious vote that I've got is my last one, and I gave one to Durham, and that was just because of his attacking mind to try and take on Geelong, even though not a lot of it came out well. I did want to reward him for his style of play. So that was my votes, mate.
Beauty. All right, let's tally him up then. So I'll go from the bottom as always. So we've got Durham and Laverty on four votes apiece. On five votes each, we've got Brian, Wright and Perkins. On six each, we've got Zerk, Thatcher and Draper. Setterfield was on seven. Wiedemann on eight. Phillips on 10. Caldwell and Kelly on 12. Scheel on 18. On 21 votes each is Heppel and Stringer. Langford's on 31, McGrath on 33, Hobbs on 37, and our top five, Jane. So we've got Parrish on 39, Redmond on 48, Martin on 49, Ridley on 56, and still out in front is Zachy Merritt on 73 Doncaster medal votes.
Yeah, well, again, that was a real hard one to give votes to, mate. And let's hope Friday night can bring us a lot more joy. It's a must-win game, goes without saying. Big Bomber crowd, that's what we want to see. And, let's give it to the dish lickers, and let's hope we can kick our way further up that final eight, because we are sitting right on the precipice, mate. We're on the eighth position now. Now, we've got some winnable games. This is the thing, mate. That's why Friday night's such a big game. And win this one, followed on by Sydney, North and West Coast, all, you know, at Marvel Stadium. So, we've just got to get these games and, that will make our journey towards the finals much easier. But Mate, any closing words you want to say before our send off?
Nah, look, I know, yeah, we've been a bit negative, but yeah, both of us, yeah, back the boys. The season we've had is to be, yeah, celebrated. Like, we've seen so much development from the boys, and we do back them. But yeah, we're fans at the end of the day. Yeah, we ride the highs and lows, and yeah, unfortunately, Saturday night was a real low for us, and yeah, a bit of a gut punch after. Yeah, you start to rekindle those hopes again, Jane. Like, oh, maybe we've turned the corner, and then Essendon comes up and says, "Hold my beer." So, look, the one thing I'll say is, look, there's still, what have we got, 5 games to go, something like that, Jane. 5, 6, maybe. Yeah, show up, support the boys. Yeah, I'm actually planning a bit of a road trip, Jane, up to Sydney to see him play against the Giants later on in the year. Yeah, bit far for me to get to Melbourne, but yeah, I'll be there to support the boys where I can. So let's get out there, get plenty of red and black, support the boys, and let's yeah, hopefully we can lift from this and yeah, start that race towards the finals.
Good on you, mate. And yeah, until next time. Go Bombers.
Go Dons.